While the pirates were beaching the boat, Jim escaped. He ran into the island forest, where they could not find him. In the woods, Jim met Ben Gunn, an old man the pirates had left on the island years ago. Ben was glad to have someone to talk to. He told Jim all about his rowboat, his cave, and the food he ate to survive. Captain Smollett noticed a stockade on the island and decided it would be a good defense against the pirates. He left two men to guard the pirates on the ship and set out for the fort. Jim joined his friends there. On the ship, the pirates overpowered the guards and took over. Long John returned. He and the pirates made plans to attack the stockade. Long John wanted to bargain with Captain Smollett to get the map. The captain refused, so Long John and the pirates attacked. The action was fast and furious. Jim was busy loading the muskets, but finally the pirates retreated. The people at the stockade feared the ship's cannon might be used against them. If someone cut the ship's mooring lines, thought Jim, the ship would run aground. Her cannon would be useless. When it was dark, he took Ben's boat and rowed out to the ship. He cut the lines, but the rowboat floated away. He had to climb aboard. The pirate on guard saw him and chased him up into the rigging. He threw a knife and hit Jim in the arm. Jim was badly hurt, but managed to shoot the pirate and climb down to the deck. The ship ran aground. Jim staggered back to the fort, only to be captured by the pirates. Long John was concerned over Jim's injuries. Under a flag of truce, he went to get the doctor. While Dr. Livesey bandaged Jim's arm, Long John told them he had the map. He wanted to bargain, though. He would protect Jim from the pirates if the doctor would help him when they were back in England. The doctor agreed. The pirates found the spot where the treasure was supposed to be. They dug a deep hole, but the treasure was gone. They thought Long John had stolen it. The pirates attacked Long John. Dr. Livesey, Squire Trelawney, and their friends got into the fight too. Soon, Long John was the only pirate left. It turned out that the treasure was in Ben Gunn's cave. Without telling anyone, he had dug it up himself and hidden it. Captain Smollett told the squire and Jim to take Long John back to the ship as a prisoner. He would be going back to England, perhaps to die. But Long John had saved Jim's life. He had to help him. At the beach, he saw his chance. He pushed the rowboat into the water so that Long John could row toward the open sea alone.
"Goodbye, matey. Good luck to ye," said the old pirate in farewell.
That's Treasure Island, Disneyland Records. I like that one. I remember having that as a kid. I think it was my brother Eric's. I don't remember. But those were great little books. I like these things. Basically, 24-page book. It's on a little 45 record. And you would put it on and you just read along. I remember reading that as a kid and I thought that was one of the best. Because the guy had, you know, one leg. Jim gets like a knife in his side. They're digging for treasure. There's a parrot in it and a bunch of naked, you know, half-naked shirt. Well, shirts and skins, you know. He had the, you know, the captain and, you know, he was all dollied up in the pirate thing. And then the skins, the guys would just be you know, half shirts and digging away and doing barking orders and they're out on ships and it's fun. Pirates are fun. That's why Pirates of the Caribbean became big years later. But yeah, Treasure Island, one of the best. I have something here from 1964. It is Nashua, New Hampshire's high school graduation from June 17th, 1964. A person that is the valedictorian has an essay. It's entitled, let me look here, "When One Is Enslaved, No Man Is Free," by Miss Priscilla Leibovitz, valedictorian. So they pressed this, onto 45s. Maybe they gave it to the class, or maybe they had to buy it. I don't know. But I saw it in the store. I saw it in Savers, I believe, is where I saw it. Or it might have been the old bookstore. I wander around and look through for all these little treasures, just like in Treasure Island. I look for treasures. And I found this one, Nashua High School Graduation. So let's see what they have to say. I don't know. Well, let's see what they have to say. And then, of course, I will add my witty banter and commentary thereafter. So this is from Nashua, New Hampshire's High School Graduation, June 17th, 1964.
Righteousness and equality. Many hundreds of years ago, the Bible set a precedent. Righteousness and equality are the foundations of the throne of God. 300 years ago, America made a declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. 100 years ago, Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation. All persons held as slaves shall be thenceforward and forever free. 10 years ago, the Supreme Court made a decision. In the field of public education, the doctrine of separate but equal has no place. Separate educational facilities are inherently unequal. Today, ignoring the decisions of those otherwise respected, thousands of people are denying other men the right to full freedom, denying them education, recreation, opportunity, and most important, the knowledge that they are free. When one man is enslaved, no man is free. By depriving another of his rights, man denies himself his virtue as well as his manhood, mistakenly thinking that he gains the dignity of which he robs another. In practice, though, he does not dishonor his victim, for it is the robber and not the robbed on whom shame falls. Diminishing himself in the eyes of the world, he destroys society with himself. The bigot cares nothing for his country, for he allows it to be sullied by the bloody stain of fear and hate, the self-perpetuating omnipresent scar on humanity. Wait, someone says, until the bearers of that ugly scar of prejudice have passed on. Wait for a new generation who may choose to end the tradition of shame. No, we must not wait, for the plague of discrimination will spread, infect the innocent, the just, the unborn. Right now, as adults entering a world of potential beauty, we must dedicate ourselves to creating a world where each man may be free, a world of men with equal opportunity and self-respect. We must put together a country torn by misunderstanding, and on this reassembled framework, build a more perfect society, a simpler task for free men. The diplomas we receive tonight represent an end of an education we assumed was inherently ours. If we accept this concept of education due us, we must accept the responsibility of seeing it provided for all. For education is the opportunity, if not the guarantee of success. When education is denied an American citizen, slavery is but half abolished, and emancipation is but half accomplished. We negate the principles we proclaim. We mock the face we see in the mirror, a face which has too long turned the other way in order not to see and bear witness to the injustice we would not ourselves endure. Many men do not choose to look at injustice done others. But strangely, these are the same men who would least endure the same unfairness dealt them. These are the men we must not be. The men who deal in half-truths, half-slavery, half-freedom, meaningless terms full of sound and fury signifying nothing. Half-truth is no truth. Half-slavery is total slavery. Half freedom is no freedom. When one man is enslaved, no man is free. Realistic and insistent men do and will demand racial equality, a cause undeniably right. The bigot and the pseudo-liberal will brand this demand too much too soon. But freedom is not a commodity to be parceled and rationed. It is man's only birthright. Equality cannot be doled out slowly, bit by bit. There is no time for this. We must not wait. Man's life is too short to spend waiting in bondage for the moral awakening of those who sleep in ignorance.
I'd be sleeping by now.
Mr. Keefe and members of the Board of Education, in our 3 years here, we have seen new classrooms, a new gym, and a new cafeteria rise before us through your efforts.
Love that new calf.
We recognize and appreciate the time and energy you have offered in order that we might learn.
Yep.
Chosen by the people to oversee the education of their children, you have kept the trust, giving us fine books and finer teachers.
Fine books.
Guarding the honored tradition and abandoning the outdated. For this, we say thank you. Mr. Morley, Miss Trudell, and members of the faculty, for asking us the unanswerable questions, for stretching the minds of the limited, for listening to the tales of the sad.
It's high school, come on.
For nourishing the spirit of inquiry.
This lady's too serious.
For feeding the hunger for knowledge, for awaking the sleeping and the disinterested.
I'd be sleeping by now.
For being our guides and our friends, we say thank you.
That's me in the audience.
Parents, for giving us the gift of life, for laughing when we laugh.
All right.
For crying when we cry.
We get it.
For holding us in the warmth of the family, for giving us strength and encouragement, for sometimes understanding us, and for always trying to.
This girl never got laid in high school. Never.
Students, behind us lie the often difficult but secure days of high school.
Blah, the days we were together. Blah, blah, blah.
Before us lie the challenging and frightening days of independence and self-discipline.
Blah, blah, blah,
the days
blah.
We shall be apart. Tonight, we resolve to show our appreciation in the only way we can to those who have helped
come
us.
Come on, Priscilla.
By meeting their expectations and by maintaining
Priscilla
their standards.
Priscilla Leibowitz.
We have reached this day of laughter and tears.
Yeah, mostly for this, tears for me.
We thank God.
Thank God. Is it over? Yeah. Of course you got to end on God. Anyway, that was Priscilla Leibowitz, not to be confused with Fawn Leibowitz, Miss Priscilla Leibowitz, valedictorian. When one is enslaved, no man is free. And she mentions man over and over again. It's 1964, so she has to, but I don't know. It's interesting. You know, it's got the civil rights thing in there. It's got the, you know, the liberal thing going on. It's New Hampshire. And you can hear her New England voice. The girl's like 17 years old. Like, how serious? Why so serious? As they say, I bet you she never got laid. Either that or she was like banging everybody. She's like, hey, hold on a second. I'm writing my speech. Give me 1 second. I'll bang you. There's a second side here from the class president and an oration and onward ye peoples. But you know what? I'm done with story time. I don't want to play it anymore. That Fawn Leibowitz was boring. I thought it would be so much better. So that's a nice Nashua, New Hampshire high school graduation. Person's still alive now, probably. She's probably married with 17 kids. Probably gave up on her hopes and dreams at the age of 19. Just threw her legs up in the air and had a bunch of kids with a guy. Because that was the time. It was the 60s. You couldn't do that, you know? It all looks good with, you know, rose-colored glasses when you're 17 in high school. And now in college, and now until you're 25 since you got health care. But anyway, here's the Stones.
Here we go.
It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. This goes out to my friend Bob, who passed away recently. Country honk.
Just can't seem to drink you off my mind.
I'm going to do one more Stone song, and then I'm going to play you some comedy stuff. I got some comedy sketches and some songs and some stand-up here for you up until 5 p.m., and then I'll start Watch This. My name's Chris Earle. The show is Time Travel, and it's also The Chris Earle Show, and it's also Watch This 5 to 7 p.m., and it's also Story Time, and it's also on WMFO in Medford. Pick one.
The children play, smiling faces I can see, but not for me. I sit and watch as tears go by. My riches can't buy everything.
Let's play some comedy stuff. Why not? We got about 40 minutes until Watch This. I'm going to play some comedy albums here. I brought in a whole bunch of records. So I got some Tom Lehrer. I got some Steve Martin. I got some Bob and Doug McKenzie a little bit later on. Got some all kinds of stuff here. Let me pull out a few different albums. This first one is from Tom Lehrer. He was a professor. He is a professor. I think he's retired by now, but he had a bunch of huge hits in the 50s and 60s. You might recognize him. Great, great guy. Great guy.
So long, Mom, I'm off to drop a bomb, so don't wait up for me. But while you swelter down there in your shelter, you can see me on your TV. While we're attacking frontally, watch Brinkley and Huntley describing contrapuntally the cities we have lost. No need for you to miss a minute of the agonizing Holocaust. Yeah! Little Johnny Jones, he was a U.S. pilot, and no shrinking violet was he. He was mighty proud when World War III was declared. He wasn't scared, no siree. And this is what he said on his way to Armageddon. So long, Mom, I'm off to drop the bomb, so don't wait up for me. But though I may roam, I'll come back to my home, although it may be of debris. Remember, Mommy, I'm off to get a commie, so send me a salami and try to smile somehow. I'll look for you when the war is over, an hour and a half from now.
Well, not too many people smoking out here tonight. That's pretty good. Kind of bothers some people. If you're in a sleazy place like this and people start smoking, you know. So. It doesn't bother me in a nightclub because I'm used to it. If I'm in a restaurant though, I'm eating and someone says, "Hey, mind if I smoke?" Well, I say, "Oh no, do you mind if I fart?" It's one of my habits. Yeah, they got a special section for me on airplanes now. I quit once for a year, you know. But I gained a lot of weight. And, it's hard to quit. You know, after sex, I really have the urge to light one up, huh? See, I'm not a very tactful person. You ever start talking to someone and you forget what you're going to say and you're standing there going, gee, I was going to say something, I forgot what it was. And they always go, well, it must not have been very important, you wouldn't have forgot it. I would say, oh, I remember, I'm radioactive. Shake.
Okay. We're moving now, eh, folks?
Yes, this is comedy.
All right. Well, I decided I'm taking up smoking. My doctor told me I wasn't getting enough tar. Now, the fun part of smoking is deciding what brand to smoke. Now, Virginia Slims, that's a woman's cigarette, right? What do they have, like little breasts on them or something? I'm depressed. Nah, it's just... I guess I'm kind of thinking about my old girlfriend, you know what I mean? we were together about 3 years, and... sometimes when I get on stage, I kind of think about her because, you know, she'd travel with me, and I'd be up here performing, and I could hear her laugh, you know? And it kind of meant something to me, I guess. I guess I kind of miss her. And she's not living anymore, so you think that's funny or something? I guess I kind of blame myself for her death. We were at a party one night, and we weren't getting along, we were fighting, and she began to drink.
And she ran out to the car. I followed her out. And I guess I didn't realize how much she'd been drinking. She asked me to drive her home. And I refused. We argued a little bit further. She asked me once again, would you please drive me home? I didn't want to, so I shot her.
Ladies and gentlemen, National Lampoon proudly presents Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, and the End of the World.
Oh, great stuff.
And now, the rest of the album.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Shut up.
It's Firing Line with host the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. Today's guest, General Mohammed El Sayed.
Ready, aim, fire!
I'm not the world's straightest guy. I've been known to take drugs, drink bourbon and rye. And I'm not usually the sort that likes to complain. But everybody's talking about how times are so rough, and everybody's still out tooting that stuff, spending all their hard-earned cash on that cocaine. Well, I'm not saying it doesn't make you feel good. At $125 a gram, it certainly should. And you do enough, you feel good for about a half an hour. Now in the meantime, you've just blown your rent, half your bill money, your car payment, on what is probably nothing more than a capful of xylocaine and flour. Cocaine! Cocaine! This whole damn town gone insane. It's a Peruvian plot to break this country, give us the jitters, and steal all our money. Well, I'm much too cheap to ever buy cocaine. Now, if a friend stops by and he happens to have a taste of a couple of lines, it might otherwise go to waste. Well, my arm could be twisted to help a guy like that out. But when he asks me the big question, if I want to buy anything, well, that's when I hear the telephone ring. Or my neighbor's brat kid in the apartment upstairs begins to shout. Now here's what I'm leading up to, folks. Until there's a government subsidy to buy cocaine for cheap bastards like me, I'll be good and goddamned if I'm giving any South American my hard-earned dough. I'm already helping the Arabs to purchase the world, putting polar bear coats on these cute little Japanese girls. So don't even ask, neighbors. The answer is no. Cocaine. Has his whole damn town gone insane? It's a Colombian plot to break this country, give us the jitters and steal all our money. Well, I'm much too cheap to ever buy cocaine. Well, I'm much too cheap to ever buy cocaine.
And one, and two, and...
Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Miller!
Thank you very much. Nice to be here tonight. I didn't think I was going to make it. I was running a little late. Coming in from National Airport, I'm coming across the 14th Street Bridge. There's a vicious traffic jam. I figured it must have been some horrible accident, as it turned out the kids from Fame had broken out into an impromptu production number. You know, they are going to live forever. Especially that Coco. Well, nice to be here. Nice to be back east. I've been out in Los Angeles, L.A., the only city in the world where people list CAT scans as film credits on their resume. Stopped on the way back, worked my way across the country, did a few gigs in the deep south. To be frank, I find these people anything but deep. I was in Birmingham, Alabama, working a small comedy club called I Don't Get It. And Alabama, you talk about Darwin's waiting room, you know what I mean? There are guys in Alabama who are their own fathers. You know, I mean, this is the... It's the sort of place where people read the Sunday comics with a yellow highlighter. Just in case they stumble across a particularly meaningful passage in Beetle Bailey that... Yeah. I think the only more backward place I've ever been is West Virginia. I mean... This place makes Mayberry look like a think tank. You know, I went to see Burt Reynolds' film Cannonball Run 2 in West Virginia. At the end of the movie, everybody broke up into individual discussion groups. Try to cut through some of that clever Reynolds subtext, you know, the recurrent use of DeLuise as a Christ figure. Went to my first square dance in West Virginia. There's an activity I don't get nearly enough of, huh? What is this, dancing for people without imaginations, or what? I go to dance, I go to express myself. These people are into being ordered around the floor by some neo-fascist Sam Drucker, some sort of bizarre B.F. Skinner hoedown or something. What's worse than that is somebody who doesn't dance, rather they act out the lyrics to the song. Ever get stuck next to this asshole on the dance floor? Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough. Hey, pal, ain't no fucking dance floor wide enough, all right?
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Gauze.
Gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
More gauze.
A little more gauze.
We don't have any more gauze.
That's all the gauze?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. We had a small roll of gauze.
Give me a sponge.
Sponge.
Clamp.
You have the clamp.
Suture.
We have the suture.
Edith.
Yes?
I love you.
Please, please.
Sponge.
You have the sponge.
Give me another sponge. I want two sponges.
You have all the sponges.
I have two sponges.
We don't. We only had two sponges.
This is terrible when we wrangle this way. Why do you avoid me?
We have two sponges.
Why do you avoid me in the hall?
I don't avoid you in the hall.
You turned your back at the coffee machine.
I didn't turn my back.
You deliberately turned your back.
Excuse me, the oxygen is failing.
Edith, don't change the subject.
But it's failing.
Well, turn it up.
Well, I'm trying to.
Is there somebody else?
Is there something you'd like? A suture? Sponge? Something?
Is there somebody else?
I don't care to discuss it now,
thank you. It's Pinsky, isn't it?
I don't care to talk about it.
I saw you in the cafeteria.
I just don't care to talk about it, Dr. Harris. Now, would you like anything else? Otherwise, I'd like to go.
Go in the middle of an operation?
Well, I have nothing else to hand you. You've got it all in the patient.
Edith, what have I done to hurt you this way?
You haven't done anything to hurt me. I just wish you wouldn't badger me.
Badger you?
I need time to think. I told you that before.
I don't know you like this. You're cold. You're diffident.
Because you badger me.
I haven't badgered you.
You're only making me run away.
Is it badgering you to tell you I love you? Is that badgering you?
Please do not tell me over and over in the cafeteria and operations.
Right, I'm sorry. Give me a needle.
Needle.
thread.
Would you like me to thread the needle?
I don't even know what I'm doing. Yes, thread it, please.
All right. Catgut?
Yes.
Cheer up. Come on, I have a little joke for you. Knock, knock.
Oh.
Come on. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Catgut.
Catgut who?
Catgut your tongue? Oh, come on.
Edith, why are you torturing me?
I'm not. I was trying to cheer you up.
Well, there's only one way you can cheer me up, and that's to say yes.
Please, please, Dr. Harris, not now. This is how you drive me away every time.
Put your finger on this knot, please.
All right, but don't do anything funny.
I'm not doing anything funny. I'm sewing up the patient. Now it's you who starts these things.
All right, all right.
Oh, I do love you so.
Oh, please, please, let go of my finger. I knew you were going to do this.
Please, no, don't pull back. I do. I love you. I love you.
Let go of my finger.
Don't pull back. You're pulling the stick.
Please, Dr. Harris, stop.
Edith, it is Pinsky, isn't it?
I don't want to talk about it now,
it's
please.
Very important to me to know whether it's Pinsky or not.
Give me time to check. Now the oxygen is failing again.
Let it fail. I'm sick of this torture.
Please, so, Dr. Harris, everyone is looking at you.
I'm not going to finish this operation unless you say yes.
Dr. Harris, you're being impossible.
I'm not going to finish this operation unless you say yes, Edith.
Dr. Harris, this patient will die.
I've been tortured long enough. Yes or no, which is it going to be?
This is absolute blackmail.
I don't care. I don't care what lengths I go to anymore. All is fair and all that.
Dr. Harris, you're a doctor. A doctor. Doesn't that mean anything to you,
yes,
a surgeon?
I'm a doctor, Edith, but I'm a man also, and I will not go on with this operation until you give me your answer, and it better be yes.
I have no choice. Yes.
All right, then. Clamp, darling.
Lady, because that was a bad guess. I know what threw him off. I was wearing chiffon. I had been bowling. And he says, lady, the longer you keep this kind of cheese, the better it gets. Then he kissed it. You know, I began to wonder how long he'd had it. I know it's dull work, but how lonely can it get? But I felt that he was an authority, so I bought it 4 years ago. Well, the man lied. Someplace along the line, we have passed better. I can't cut it, I can't catch it. But every now and then I open the refrigerator door and throw it some food. And it's getting crosser and meaner. And next year it has to have a license. I'm scared to death of it. And think of the extra work. That thing has to be aired. The dogs won't run with it. I don't blame him. It's so ugly. It's got this penicillin fur all over. And one lousy leg. And that isn't even in the middle. I take it out, it doesn't know what to chase. I'm the only woman on the block that walks a piece of cheese. Oh, and then Thanksgiving. Worst news. I stuffed a turkey. And that's the last. It took me 3 weeks. Stuffed it through the beak. Was the only thing open. And I was very patient. I sat there with those dinky little tweezers while Thanksgiving went past. So then I decided to shoot for Christmas. And then I got to thinking about the cheese. And we don't have room in that refrigerator for two pets. Because my ironing is in there. It's older than the cheese. All our kids are grown. I got baby clothes in the ironing. The inside of that refrigerator got to looking so bad, I unscrewed the bulb. And now it's very dark and lovely, except I can't see what I'm doing. A friend came over, I gotta tell you this. She wanted a little snack. I went in there in the dark and sliced off a sliver from my ironing. It cuts just like cheese, really. And it looked great on the cracker. She loved it. Dotted Swiss cheese, what the hell? But she called me from the hospital. Oh, my glory. Oh, I couldn't hear. The pumps were making more noise than she. But I had my own problems with that turkey. See, I had already learned the true meaning of the word foul. So I had to get that thing out of the house. Here's what I did. I hung the body out the window. It was cold, and I shut the window on the neck, left the head inside, and I went on with my work. And everything was going great until I get this call from the ugly woman downstairs. Oh, you wouldn't like her. She had her nose fixed, now her mouth won't work. And I think it makes her meaner. And she's on the phone, she says, Phyllis, what is this stuff coming down the side of the building? I wondered where it was going. Nobody told me to sew up the other end. She says, what is this stuff coming down the side of the building into my window and all over my new Bigelow? I was delighted. I said, looky here, you. For one thing, Bigelow should be at work. I said, for another thing, you want to know what it is? Taste it. And she did. I they hadn't taken her through the lobby. Screaming for cranberries. She said she wanted to marry a pilgrim. And I'm right back with the food and drug idiots. But you know what I'm going to do to get them off my back about the cookbook? I'm going to rewrite it into a movie. And I've got one scene already that I'm really kind of proud of. It's the heroine in this scene is spiraling down the staircase, which is straight. The kid is loaded. She's wearing this fabulous two-piece outfit. Spats. And they're open.
I never seem to finish all my food. I always get a doggy bag from the waiter, so I just keep what's still unchewed, and I take it home, save it for later. But then I deal with fungal rot, bacterial formation, microbes, enzymes, mold, and oxidation. I don't care, I've got a secret trick up my sleeve. I never bother with baggies, glass jars, Tupperware containers, plastic cling wrap, really a no-brainer. I just like to keep all my flavors sealed in tight with aluminum foil. Never settle for less. That kind of wrap is just the best to keep your sandwich nice and fresh. Stick it in your cooler. Eat it when you're ready. You'll choose a refreshing herbal tea.
Lovely.
Oh, by the way, I've cracked the code. I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know
that they're finally primed for world domination.
And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they fake a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that, I'm protected cause I made this hat
from aluminum foil. Inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy, but someday I'll prove there's a big conspiracy.
I tell you, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape. I don't get a break with nothing. I played hide and seek when I was 3.
No respect, no respect.
Why they wouldn't even look for me?
No respect, no respect.
I was an ugly kid, I never had fun.
No respect, no respect.
They took me to a dog show and I won.
No respect, no respect.
When I was born, I brought no joy.
No respect, no respect.
My old man said he wanted a boy.
No respect, no respect.
I was an ugly kid, always alone.
No respect, no respect.
Halloween, I had a trick-or-treat over the phone.
No respect, no respect.
Friends don't call, my phone don't ring. I don't get a break with anything.
What's the matter, Rodney?
Death, where is my sting?
It's just rapping, Rodney. Ain't that too tight? No, no. Rapping, Rodney. Get out of sight. It's just rapping, Rodney. Make no mistake, poor old rapping, Rodney. Can't get a break.
I'm getting old. It's hard to face.
No respect. No respect.
respect.
But during sex, I lose my place.
No respect, no respect.
Steak and sex, my favorite pair.
No respect, no respect.
I have them both the same way, very rare.
No respect, no respect.
I know I'm old, I could go any minute.
No respect, no respect.
I got a kidney-shaped pool with a stone in it.
No respect, no respect.
Dr. Vinnie Boombots, that's another one.
No respect, no respect.
I said I want to stop aging, he gave me a gun.
No respect, no respect.
I told him I got water on the knee. He gave me a sponge and raised his fee.
What's the matter, Rodney?
Ah, it ain't easy being me.
It's just Rapping Rodney. Ain't rapture tight, no, no. Rapping Rodney, get out of sight. It's just Rapping Rodney. Make no mistake, poor old Rapping Rodney can't get a break.
Oh, give me a break. Play something from the 40s. Now what kind of music is this? Now how about Stardust? Hey, what are you doing? That's not Stardust. Listen to this, will you? I mean, where are the flutes? What a band. Hey, don't quit your day jobs. Look at this. The drummer carries the melody. Hey, tell the bass player, I like his instrument. Nothing goes right, I just can't fight it.
No respect, no respect.
Well, Eastern Airlines thanked me for flying United.
No respect, no respect.
I got some money, what did I do?
No respect, no respect.
I bought some quicksand, the deal fell through.
No respect, no respect.
My car broke down, I called AAA.
No respect, no respect.
They left the car and towed me away.
No respect, no respect.
I can't take it no more, I'm getting too old.
No respect, no respect.
I called suicide prevention, they put me on hold.
No respect, no respect.
Winter, summer, spring and fall, I'm always up against a wall.
What's the matter, Rodney?
I don't get no respect at all.
It's just Rapping Rodney. Ain't that too tight, no, no. Rapping Rodney, get out of sight. It's just Rapping Rodney. Make no mistake, poor old Rapping Rodney can't get a break.
It's getting worse, it's caving in. The heaviness, I can't take it no more. It's all over. Hey, where are my kids? Somebody help me. Hey, bartender. Hey, who's that guy with my daughter? Where's my wallet? How do I get out of here? Stop that dancing.
This is Groucho Marx. A few days ago, I was talking with the Director of Civil Defense, and he told me some things that I feel everyone should know. That's why I'm speaking to you now. Did you know, for example, that your chances of surviving an atom bomb attack are excellent? It's true, but there's a big if. You must do everything possible now to help yourself and your family. Nobody else will help you. Listen, because this is important. Keep a complete first aid kit handy. Keep a closed container of drinking water in your refrigerator, enough for 3 days. Be sure you have a good fire extinguisher. Take a look around your house right now and pick out the safest spot, away from windows and doors. Make sure that every member of your family understands he is to rush to that safe spot when there's danger. I'm convinced that these precautions are necessary right now, and I hope I can convince you. They're important to your family, yourself, and your community.
Next number two. Huh? Start that, Bill. Okay, be real nice to him, eh?
Okay.
Okay. This is the hit single section of our album.
Good day.
Good day. Geddy Lee is here from Rush. Hi, Geddy. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, Geddy?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Good day, eh?
Good day. Good day. Thanks for coming down to do our hit.
Well, it's my pleasure, eh?
Did our lawyer call you?
Yeah. I'm, you know, $10 is $10.
I hope you don't mind, but there's a photographer that's going to be taking pictures of us together to prove that you were here doing the record.
In case people don't believe us.
Yeah. How come he's not wearing a toque?
Oh, he's not from the Great White North, eh?
Okay, so if you'd like to put on a toque and some headphones, we can do the hit single now.
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Do you have the lyric sheet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I memorized them.
Oh, great. Beauty.
How did you do that so fast?
I'm a professional, eh?
Oh. We'll just sit over here, like, while you're singing, eh?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Good luck, eh?
Good luck.
Okay. This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, beauty, go. Okay. Good day, welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, this record was my idea.
Get out!
It was.
You're lying.
He, Hosehead here, just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, eh?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
We agreed to say that, but...
Oh, take off! Saying, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right, like, because my brother and I are now experts in the field,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, right, because we're a band now. And,
Well, except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off!
Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way.
Listen to this, it's coming. You know what it is?
What?
It's a drum solo.
Okay, everyone, like, this is me on the drums,
oh,
eh?
Oh, get out. It is not. You're
lying. It is so.
Stop lying, will you?
Take off, eh? Oh,
take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off.
Beauty, eh?
Like magic, eh? It's coming in.
Well, that's like...
Like it was sung by angels.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah, what?
Guess what?
What?
It's over.
Take off. That can't be.
It is. Yeah, it is. Because hit records are short.
Like, no way.
Yeah, they're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So good day.
Good day.
Hey, you guys.
What?
Take off.
Hey, no. Hey, don't go.
No, come back, eh?
Look what you did. Everybody's gone.
You.
Come back.
I won't let him do it again.
Yeah.
My fault was, your fault.
You're such a hoser.
There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, Hoser.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'll do a solo album.
Fine, and you'll be looking for me another label.
Oh, now everybody's gone. Good day.
Good day.
So, like, take off to the great white north.
Beauty.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go.
Jeez.
Take off, you hosers.
Hey. Geddy, we'd like to thank you for coming on the album and singing on the hit single.
Well, it was my pleasure, eh? Like, I wish you guys, like, lots of success and everything.
Beauty. Thanks,
Thanks
Geddy.
A lot, eh?
That's great.
You're welcome.
Okay.